This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. 2020 has been a year of cancellations. We've just passed the days when we would have been enjoying the Rose Oconee Fair. Another thing that didn't happen was a planned program celebrating Rose Oconee's 125th anniversary. In 1995, a centennial program was presented during church night at the fair. One part of it was read by Pastor Lewis Hermanson. His reading was largely taken from a book, Pioneer Pastor, by Joel Neuse, based on the writings of Nils J. Neuse. Here are Pastor Neuse's words. I finished my seminary education in 1903. They told me then that my first parish would consist of four churches in Rose Oconee, Minnesota. I was to provide my own house. I was also told that I would be installed the first Sunday in July. I did not know where Rose Oconee was located, much less the conditions I would face there. However, a man at the cemetery who had lived in Rosa for some time gave me some information. He told me that Stephen was the nearest railroad station and that I would have to take the stage from there. He also told me where the four congregations that I was to serve were located. His directions meant little to me. The train for Stephen left St. Paul in the evening. We were due in Stephen at noon the next day. There was no sleeper. Later in the evening, as I walked through the train, I met a pastor from Rosa who had accepted a call in Wisconsin. He was on the way home to pack his belongings and had arranged for a man to meet him in Stephen. If his driver agreed, I would be able to ride with them. That was good news to me. He also said that he hoped that it had not rained recently, as there were 8 miles of gumbo road out of Stephen that was nearly impassable after a rain. The man who met us was from Badger. He had a team of Western horses and a 2-seat platform buggy. He agreed to take me, but not my baggage. He arranged for a freighter to handle my luggage, which I would be able to pick up later at a Greenbush store. Our travels took us through England, across a big swamp to a place called Fur. That place consisted of a store and a large building that provided accommodations for those who wished to stop overnight. By evening, we had come to Peelin, about halfway between Stephen and Badger. There was a hotel there, a couple of stores, a flour mill, a bank, and a newspaper print shop. We stayed overnight in Peelin, and by noon the next day we were in Badger. The pastor I was succeeding met me there, and we traveled southwest to Greenbush. The business district boasted 2 stores, a blacksmith shop, and a printing shop. From there, we made our way southwest to a farmer who had a team of 3- or 4-year-old horses for sale. For $125, I bought my team of partially broken Western Broncos and a pair of old harnesses. He told me the horses were named Maud and Dandy. With some help, I hitched Maud and Dandy to the buggy, and off we went to the southeast. It was dark by then, even though the days were long that time of the year. At first, we drove through a long stretch of dry swamp, and then into willow brush that was about as high as the horses. It was after midnight when we reached the house where lodging had been arranged for us. In the evening of the next day, we arrived at the homestead of my predecessor. All he had left in the house was a small kerosene lamp, a cot, and a stove. We had no bedclothes, and that first night we slept in our clothing and used our raincoats for covers. Fortunately, it was a warm night, but ufta, I had not changed my clothing since leaving St. Paul. I do not know of any place where it was easier to get lost than in Rose Oconee. Each poplar thicket looked like every other thicket, and the high willow brush obscured our view. Yeah, then there were the swamps to avoid, and the only sight of a road was broken down brush. It probably would not surprise you that I was lost twice my first summer in Rose Oconee. My ministry in Rose Oconee had interesting twists and turns. I remember when a man came to the schoolhouse in Winoska just after I had finished an afternoon service. He just stood there by the door with a grin on his face. "Can I help you with something?" I asked. "Is there anything I can do for you?" His grin grew wider, but he did not answer. So I asked him the obvious question, "Do you want to get married?" "Yes," he said. In this section of northern Minnesota, burials could be a problem. In wet seasons, the low flat ground was covered with water. Once when I was to have a funeral for a young woman, the men found a site that seemed suitable for burial, but when they started to dig, the grave filled with water. Some of the men bailed water while the others dug. When the coffin was lowered into the grave, it stopped with the top of the pine box even with the ground. Someone cried, "Oh God, what are we going to do?" Two men came forward. One stood on each end of the box. Their combined weight pushed it beneath the surface of the water. Others brought stones and placed them on top of the coffin to keep it in place while it was covered with the wet soil. Few were ever able to talk about this funeral without tears in their eyes. My nights away from home could be unpredictable also. At one place I was invited to stay, there was no spare bedroom. We all had to sleep in the same area, but I was tired and I thought, tonight I'm going to sleep like a log no matter what. But I was mistaken, for when I crawled into bed, I realized that I was not alone. The bed was alive with bed bugs. I could feel them crawling on me, but I could even smell them. The bed bugs didn't seem to bother the family. They all fell asleep promptly and began to snore. The room seemed alive with sound and motion, snoring and bed bugs. I simply could not sleep. When the sun at last rose in the morning, the bed bugs ran for cover. Then I was finally able to go to sleep. One thing is sure, it took a healthy, determined, and strong person to be a pastor in northern Minnesota in those days. Thanks to Annette Hermanson for recommending this story, and to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.